The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In the first half of this sermon by Elder Luke Hagler, we began to see that every child of God has a testimony of some kind. The dear faithful saints of Scripture showed us examples of how we ought to live so that our testimony would be as true and faithful as theirs. Join us today for the conclusion of this wonderful sermon about the testimony of the saints of God.
Standing by John the Baptist, listening to him preach, saw Jesus, and he began to develop a testimony. Andrew goes to Peter. Peter comes to Jesus. Peter's heart burns within him, and he begins to develop his testimony. Philip goes to Nathanael. And the Lord says something special to Nathanael, and Nathanael begins to develop his testimony. Now, I find that very powerful, because for every single child of God, there has come a time in our life where our hearts begin to burn. And it was the beginning of the developing of a testimony. Now, do testimonies grow in strength and stature? Absolutely. If you're pursuing the Lord, they do. All right. What is Peter's testimony at this point? I've met this guy that some guys I trust said is the Messiah or the Christ. And when I'm around him, there is something about him that is special. You can read about Peter later on. So much so that I left my nets for him. And I left my way of life for him. I left my source of income for him. All right, that's a pretty good testimony. But is it as big and as influential and as strong as his testimony at the point where he sees a resurrected Christ and the Lord tells him to go feed my sheep? And Peter says that we've been begotten again by a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ. All through his experience with Jesus up to that point right there, his testimony got bigger and stronger and better. And so should ours as we go throughout life. That's the power, that's the power of a testimony. Now, let me also give you this, talking about the power of a testimony. In Revelations, the 12th chapter is speaking about a war. And I'm not going to pretend that I understand all the things in Revelations, but I do understand this part of it. In Revelations, the 12th chapter, it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Now notice this, how'd you overcome them? "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Now, do you see that picture of this great battle? The blood of the Lamb was a powerful weapon, but it also says the word of their testimony was powerful and influential in slaying these powers of darkness. Now, let me get to this because I don't want to run out of time here. We can see with the Samaritan woman, we can see with Andrew to Peter and Philip to Nathanael. Those are just a few of many examples where the power of a testimony was seen, and how influential somebody telling their experience with Christ changed the lives of somebody else. Now, what is the cost of your testimony? I like this in Revelations. There's several places I could go to make this point to you, but I'm gonna give you this one. In Revelations, the 6th chapter, you see a chapter here where there are 7 seals that are opened. First seal, second seal, third seal, on down. When you get to the 5th seal, this is what John writes about the 5th seal. And it says, "And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Why were these people slain, killed, murdered? It wasn't because of their nationality. It wasn't because of something they had done. They were slain for, which in this sense means because of, the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And the picture that John sees here is he sees them under the altar. When I was a kid and I used to read this verse, I always pictured people crowded up under this little table, you know, for some reason. It's not like that, okay? I don't understand fully what this altar looks like, but what he sees is a group of people, and everybody that he sees is somebody that their testimony cost them something. And it says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, I want you to think about the people that would be in this group. Okay? According to history, was Peter killed for his testimony? According to history, he was. What about all the other apostles? The Bible tells us, maybe with the exception of John, as far as I know, that they were martyrs. They were killed for their testimony. So when John looks up and he sees this mass of people under this altar, and they're all dressed in white robes and they've all been slain because of their testimony, guess what he's seeing? He's seeing his friends. He's seeing some of the very people that he walked and talked and broke bread with, because these are the people that were slain. Now, in Matthew, I believe it's Matthew the 10th chapter, let me give you another picture of a testimony costing you something. Matthew 10:16. This is when he's sending out his apostles, Peter, James, John, the other guys that are there. He tells them, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as doves." He says, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up into the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they," and that's what I want you to really notice, "but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak." Now, I don't like that part because I like to be prepared. If I was fixing to go to somebody and I knew it was going to be a conflict and I knew there was going to be some confrontation and there were some issues we had to work out, I would not want to say, "Hey, I'm just going to go in there and kind of wing it." I would want to have thought about it. What if they say this and I'll say that? What if I make this point? And I need to make, I mean, I would have wanted to thought it out. But Jesus says, hey, when you're delivered up into this conflict, don't think about what you're going to say. Don't worry about it. He says, "For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak." Now, there's a good point to be made right there. There are everything that I need to face the sorrows and the trials and the tribulations of this life, everything that I need for those things, I don't have right now. I don't have the strength and the courage to face the scenario that if I were to lose one of my children, I do not carry that with me right now. But the Lord measures things out to us as we need them. Just because I don't have it right now does not mean I'm not going to have it when the time comes. Because the Lord says here, in that moment, in that hour, he says, "For it shall be given you in that same hour." Not now, not 2 hours before, but right then, I'm going to measure you out words and wisdom and maybe an eloquent way to put them together and a mind to explain. I'm going to measure all that out to you right then. So don't panic, apostles, that you don't have the words or the emotion or even the mental capability to imagine those things. That's very comforting to me. Because sometimes I say to myself, man, if this happened, I just don't think I could go on. I just don't think I can make it. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to unless the Lord was standing up there waiting to measure out to you grace and strength and courage and mercy as you needed it. I'm thankful for that. And that's what the Lord tells them. Says, listen, in that same hour, I got you. You will open your mouth and you will say things and you, I mean, sometimes I think of it like this, like, Lord, I'm sorry that I am such a loser when it comes to remembering Scripture. I'm sorry that I study and I try so hard for these things to go in my mind, but my mind is overloaded and I'm a failure sometimes at remembering some of the things I've read in the Bible. And then I might find myself in a conversation with somebody one day, and by jingoes, those verses come back to me. Just like that. Sometimes I think the Lord might be measuring some memory back to me that I need in those moments. And he tells them, says, don't worry about it. I've got you. And it says, For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And when I think about that, I go over to Acts, the 7th chapter, for just a second. Another very familiar passage of Scripture. Acts, the 7th chapter. This is about a man named Stephen. And if you remember, Stephen was stoned and killed. Who do you think John saw when he looked up into that vision from Revelations, the 6th chapter, and he saw the souls of all those that were slain for their testimony? Who do you think he saw? He saw Stephen. And Stephen, if you just need a recap of the Old Testament, listen to Stephen's account in Acts, the 7th chapter, where he addresses the Sanhedrin for their unbelief. And it says, the high priest is asking him a question. He said, then said the high priest, are these things so? And in my picture, in my mind, I picture when the Lord, when the high priest asked Stephen, are these things so? And Stephen said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken. That means listen to me. I imagine the Lord took something and started putting what needed to be said into Stephen. Because remember what Matthew 10 said? It's not you that's doing it. It's me speaking through you. And Stephen begins for an entire chapter here, going back through the Old Testament and showing how these people and their fathers and their forefathers had rejected the Lord and His statutes, rejected the gospel, rejected Jesus Christ. And he goes there and gives an incredible dissertation of all those things. Either he was one very sharp cookie, or the Lord was keeping true to His promise and that He was feeding him. All right, this is the exact scenario when Jesus said, they're going to deliver you up unto the rulers and of the synagogue and to the Pharisees. You are going to be delivered up. And when they ask you, don't worry about what you're going to say. All right, Stephen is living that. I wonder sometimes, you know, have you ever been talking to somebody and you're talking to somebody and you're focused on what they're saying, and then all of a sudden, bloop, your brain goes way out here and finds another something you're trying to think about. So you're thinking about this and you're talking to them, and then you have this one little thought of here, oh, I forgot to go to the grocery store, and you're trying to juggle all of that. I wonder if Stephen was sitting there and he was just letting it go. And his mind went, bloop. I remember what he said, that this would happen. How am I saying these things? How am I being so eloquent? How am I weaving these words together? How is this happening? The Lord is holding true to His promise. That's how it's happening. And so he goes on and on and on and on. And, I mean, he's 1-2 punching them. Because he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Now listen, he is not talking to the wicked and rebellious. He is talking to religious leaders. Yes. Do you think that stung a little bit? When he said, you're stiff-necked, you're uncircumcised in your hearts and your ears, you're always resisting the Holy Ghost, and you're just doing the exact same thing your fathers did. That's kind of the biblical your mama joke, you know? You never made jokes about somebody's mama. Well, in the Bible, you didn't make jokes about their dads. He says, you're doing just like your fathers did. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? He says, name me one prophet that your fathers didn't persecute. And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, which those guys that were slain, where are they? They're under that altar. Of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. That is just a little bit of what Stephen told them. And it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, why? Because the Lord had promised him that he would. He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Remember, and I heard a preacher preach this when I was probably 6 or 7 years old. I've never forgotten it. When you read about Jesus ascending into heaven, the Bible says that he sat down on the right hand of God. But when Stephen looks up, he sees him standing at the right hand of God. And I remember that preacher making that point. He said, when something just puts you in awe or respect, or you're something that where you're admiring it, when somebody gets up and they just belt out a beautiful song maybe, what do? To recognize what they have done. You stand up. When the judge comes in the courtroom, what do people do? They stand up. What happens when the back door's open and a bride starts to walk down the aisle? You stand up in honor of what is going on. Well, Jesus is not sitting, Jesus is standing. Amen. Honoring and watching this man of God, whom he is just filled with the Spirit of God, die for his testimony. Amen. And Stephen is saying, my life, my words right now are serving as evidence and proof that he exists. And I'm affirming that I have seen something and I've heard something that is true and beautiful and rich and powerful and a treasure, but y'all have rejected. And they killed him for it. And when he closed his eyes in death, in my mind, he woke up with those white robes under that altar. Amen. And John saw that. Do you think your testimony will cost you something? The Bible goes on and talks about, especially in the book of Revelation, about people being slain for their testimony. And I think about the Apostle Paul. Jesus comes to the Apostle Paul one time and he's talking to him, and the Jews are getting very upset with Paul. And the Lord comes to him and says, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. You know, Paul was stoned so bad that they assumed he was dead. They drug him outside the city and left him. They thought he was dead, but he wasn't. Why'd they do that? Because of his testimony. Why were Paul and Silas thrown in jail? Why did they ever have the opportunity to sing hymns and sing praises at midnight? Because of their testimony. What about Peter? Why was Peter in jail? And why did Peter ever even have the opportunity to have the angel poke him in the side and say, get up, and the chains fall off? Why did those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, why did they ever have the opportunity to stand in the fiery furnace with one like the Son of God? It was because of their testimony. Why did Daniel have the opportunity to stand in the lion's den and survive overnight? It was because of their testimony. And after those things, for those that survived and lived and the Lord didn't deliver them into glory, their testimony just got stronger. Now, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, it says this in verse 14. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all they that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. I'll even go this far, that they may hear your testimony and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me give you this last verse as I close. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Do you think Stephen was a partaker of the afflictions? Do you think Stephen was ashamed of the testimony? Do you think the Samaritan woman was ashamed of the testimony? Do you think Peter on the backside of the resurrection, once he was begotten again and he went and history says that he was crucified upside down, do you think he was ashamed of the testimony? Do you think Isaiah, what the Bible says was most likely sawn in half, was ashamed of the testimony? Every child of God should be able to have, to be able to say, because of their experience with the Lord, and all of our experience has at least the new birth in it. Now, your experience with the new birth may be different than mine. And let me say this. The Bible tells us some people are born again in the womb. I've got a friend of mine that I probably told you before who says, he said, "I was a wretch. I cared nothing about God." He said, "One day I'm sitting in my car, 11 o'clock, midnight, sitting in a parking lot all by myself, no telling what he was doing. And he said, I had no concern for church. I had no concern for God. And he said, in an instant, it came over me, and he said, I started bawling, and he said, I've never had such a desire to get to a church as I had at that moment." All right, you ask me, I think he was born again in that car. Well, his experience is a little bit different than mine, but we both got the experience. I heard another man say, he was dating a girl, and he said, and they're married now, have grown children, grandchildren. He said, "I was dating this woman in high school. She was a churchgoer." And he said, "I told her," he said, "I'll do anything for you, but I will not go to church." And he said he was in the hayfield one day, and he was working, and he said, "Something came over me," and he said, "I had to get to that church." Well, you ask me, what happened there? I think he was born again. I think he was born again like the thief on the cross. And Saul on the road to Damascus. We've all got that experience. But my question to you would be this: how impactful has your testimony been in the community, in your family, in those of the lives around you? You've all got one. And the more you serve the Lord and the more you pursue Him and cry out for Him and stand up for Him and the truth that He is all about, the bigger and the better your testimony gets. So, how impactful has your testimony been in the lives of those around you? Are you ready to be a partaker of the afflictions if it requires it because of your testimony? Are you ready to join those that are under that altar right now in those white robes if it's required of you? Think about your own testimony. And may we draw some strength from the testimony of these saints that are in the Bible. Because by jingoes, they had some good ones.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.